Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening. All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. I am your host, Kyle, and joining me tonight, we've got Vata Trading's Baba Yaga, Abo Alpha's Flary. How you guys doing, boys?
Good, good.
Fantastic.
Good to see the chat popping off, too. Glad you guys decided to spend your lovely Friday evenings with us. This is probably better than most clubs in town, right?
Oh, yeah.
Drinks are stronger. There's no parking. No cover charge.
It's a good pregame to the poker night.
There you go. On the agenda for tonight, let's see. We're going to be checking in on the effectiveness of last week's PSA, and that'll hopefully lead us into a conversation about quieting the impulses. And as usual, we'll follow it up with some good, bad, and ugly. And after last week, we're probably going to have to get another bold pie addiction. That pie bot was fucking spicy. It gave me another good one today, too. We'll take a look at all that and more after everybody gets a chance to plug and promote. Baba, buddy, what do you got going on, man?
I say the same thing every week. I don't know.
Why don't you promote to your Flippers Crudelli podcast then?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Good call, Kyle. You're always so full of great information.
I meant to put a note on that in the script before I sent it to you.
We can throw that in the show notes. So a couple days ago, I don't know when they recorded it. I saw it like 2 days ago, maybe. I tweeted about it.
They recorded it a while ago. It just came out.
Okay. Recorded it a while ago, just came out. Listen to that, and I thought it was just cool, man. It's cool to hear, like, OGs kind of talk shop, and, so if you haven't listened to Crudelli's episode with To Your Flipper with Jeff, go check it out. It's very interesting. Talks about floor days, talks about being one of the largest bond traders in the pit, pushing orders through for some big guys, so go check it out. It's really cool, man. From a different era of this game, but it's cool.
His conversation or his explanation more like diving into the K algo got me. I reached out to him after listening to that, and Flary and I are going to try to do a deep dive with him. I think next week we're going to try to sit down.
Yep. Something like that.
Yeah. He's got a lot more stories to tell, and they're always good.
It was cool. They were talking about stories in the pit, and Crudelli was talking about how ES was trading the 600 handle. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, God. Oh, right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Was that like?
Not today.
Yeah.
No shit. Flair, you got anything going on, man? Any updates on the restaurant? Ware Barrel, what are they up to?
Drinking whiskey and tequila. They actually have, like in the whiskey world or bourbon world, you can basically procure a barrel and then they'll bottle that barrel for you.
Oh, nice.
They'll even like flavor it in certain ways. Baba, do you know what the little inserts into the barrel are called? Steins
I know,
or
yeah, spires.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, like so you get to kind of like pick your flavoring or whatever. So they did do that for a couple of like summer bourbons. They partnered with somebody, so they have like a rare barrel, you know, flavor or whatever. It's got a signature label and some stuff like that. So
I think
they have a few bottles left if somebody wants to go check it out or whatever. But yeah, always nice to go drink some bourbon. I'm probably due to go over there, and I still need to do a tequila one. And we usually just drink some bourbon and sit in front of the camera.
I just want to go check out that bookshelf behind them where they film. That thing is incredible.
Bro, come on down anytime. Anytime.
I'm planning on it.
You guys can bring the film crew into the office. We'll rip some fucking NQ.
You mean my webcam? Webcam and daughter?
Bro, don't downplay the production.
Oh, geez, I know.
they got a video guy over there too in the studio. So, but
I heard they got a sound guy who's really good.
They got a sound guy and a video guy, both very good.
All right, for the show news, and I got to give another shout out to Bear Goes Long. I don't know if he knows this, but the guy I just talked to last week, Sean from Sound Performance Psychology, he actually found us through Bear. I was kind of surprised because he hadn't heard of the podcast initially when I asked him if he wanted to be on the show. But once I said the name, he's like, "Oh yeah, I know you guys." So I was wondering, how the hell did you find us then if it wasn't through the podcast? That was from Bear. Bear's the one who's been promoting us, man. So thank you, Bear.
That's awesome.
Keep an eye out for that episode because you'll see why I'm hoping we get some more collabs with him. I'm hoping maybe we can do I don't know, maybe some event for the Discord. Let's see what else we got here. Not much new on the chart watch other than my disappointment with Sweden. Lucas's call to action remains unheeded, so I'm going to take a pause right here to play that again.
Hallå, hallå till alla mina svenska vänner. Ert stöd har visats i siffrorna, men nu behöver vi er hjälp. Så minst 12 stycken till, kanske till och med dubbelt så mycket för att nå första plats. Så säg till era vänner att prenumerera på Band of Traders. För att om vi når första plats så lovar jag att jag käkar surströmming.
All right, Sweden. You got 2 weeks left to fulfill my prediction of top 5 by the end of July. So get on that shit, please.
How do those demands generally work out? Like, is that all you have to say?
Well, I tried to ask it nicely and that's not working.
Step up your fucking game, Sweden. Let's go.
Thank you, Mark D. You sent in the message, you're giving us the correction. Balut is from the Philippines. I think we were trying to struggle for where that was from last week.
Balut,
yeah, it's the...
Is that like the fermented egg or something?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if you can call it an egg. It's like an unhatched chicken.
Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah, no. But do you guys know he runs an airsoft store in California?
No, like airsoft guns?
Yeah. Yeah, like he sent me the website. It's airsoftmasters.com. If you're looking for something, man, he's got a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, help support one of our own. Go check it out, airsoftmasters.com. All right, probably check in with that bold pie prediction, and then we can get on to some topics.
Didn't it predict like a 5% down move or something?
Yeah, 5% decline over the week, driven by growing fears of a looming recession and perceived lack of action from the Federal Reserve. SPY closed down 1.96%.
Oh, that's it?
And I think it was more on fears of presidential candidate assassinations and CrowdStrike outages. But, I mean, all in all, that's still pretty solid.
Yeah. Red Week predicted it.
He did better than I thought I was going to do. yeah, we'll get another one of those before we move on, or before we end this episode here. But I think for now it's time to get into our first topic. So as we alluded to, and I think this is one that Baba wanted to start us off with. He wants to know if anybody tried to fade the trend this week.
Oh, man. So, well, you want me to say a few words about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can give people a moment to raise their hand and be shamed if you like first.
I mean, I'm not going to be able to see them unless they posted in the chat, unless it was one of you, but I know it wasn't, so...
I think he's good too.
Traded together and we texted all day, so
Pro Shot saying he's not fading either, so I think we're good.
Yep. All right, good. Well, good job everybody. Okay, we actually messaged about how oddly timely our last Friday's episode was, and then we were talking about the show tonight and I just thought, you know, okay, so I'll admit it, I did take I did take a couple of longs, banks. Yeah, I did take a couple of longs, but they were very, you know, they were set up plays for small points after like having some good trend direction trades. And then there was one day that I didn't, you know, I did not take any longs. So it was another day I took like one. And then today I took like two backside scalps early before the bottom fell out.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my attitude about the whole idea was like, if you're a regular listener to the show and you were a listener of last Friday's episode and you still faded the trend this week, I just want to know why. So right. Could you call or send a message or come to the Discord? It's free and we can talk about it.
I mean, but you know why? Because it's challenging, right?
Yeah.
It's emotional. Trend days are emotional. And that's part of the reason for the conversation one last week. And can you predict these volatility environments are coming? I mean, yes, no. There's some structure things. There's some breaks of structure. There's some blow off tops into data, assassination attempt. Like, you know, there's some cues where, you know, some things are happening that these days are possible. And at the very least, I think, like, did you fade it all day? Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're doing that, that, you know, that's probably more of a mental breakdown.
Let me clarify.
But it's continuing to try.
Yes.
I say fade, I don't mean did you take a long. Right. That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. Do you, but I mean, but what I guess unsuccessfully attempt to be the guy that caught the low. Did you do that all week or did you do that the 17th, 18th, and 19th specifically.
Right, right.
That unsuccessfully, I would presume, because it wasn't a lot in those 3 days to do. And those 3 days gave, they checked a lot of those boxes that we just talked about.
Yes.
Like we just talked about on Friday, you know, to the point, I mean, I was actually kind of shocked that it's not a trade that lives forever.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, when it shows up, like, did you notice, Flary? I'm sure you did. Like, the VPOC of the first 15 minutes was the sell, like, 3 days in a row.
Did you see my Twitter this week? I like, literally haven't tweeted in, I don't know, 3 months or something like that. And it's so funny, dude. You know what? I'm going to take my fucking victory lap on this one and do a touchdown. So I probably haven't tweeted in, I don't know, whatever the gap was, or at least anything significant, or just, like, retweeting stuff or whatever. I think on Monday, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to drop some alpha on some stuff. I'll probably just pick it back up and start just tweeting some stuff, because Twitter's just, it's so stupid now. So yep. I'm just going to help. Nobody's going to arb out my edge in this shit, because the more I've traded with people, one, I've realized that you could give them the trade on the platter and they'll still fuck it up, or they don't have the nerves to trade it the way it's supposed to be or whatever. So, you know, there's a very small select group of people that have the discipline to take your edge and actually turn it into money. So
I fucked up your trades before, Flary.
Hey man, I fucked them up all the time too. Ask me how I know. But anyway, so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start dropping some stuff on like a pretty regular basis. I really don't care. You know, right, wrong, whatever. It's just, I'm going to drop some stuff that I feel like is actually helpable edge. Cause you know, just whatever, the environment sucks over there. So anyways, I come back from a hiatus and I drop the stats on 15 minute opening range being directional, which basically says it's a trend day, right? And the reason was, Baba, from our conversation on Friday, just I know what's like, my work says this is coming. Whether it's right or wrong doesn't matter. It says it's coming, so it's something that I'm being prepared for. That's why we had the conversation last week, and it's why we saw, you know, in my opinion, the week that we had. You know, sometimes it's just luck and preparation, and it aligns, and you look smart, but whatever. So, anyways, I was like, I'm gonna post about these 15-minute opening ranges, because it's an early precedent to a trend day. If the 30-second opening range is a no tick, if the 15-minute opening range is a no tick, which means that one side, when I say directional, that means that one side of the range has not been traded through and the other side of the range has been broken. So we have a 15-minute range and we're going down typically, right, in this environment now we're in, we're 15-minute directional sell side. There's a point of control, a volume POC, in that 15 minutes, which is super easy to set up in Sierra charts with, you know, some timing in the studies and the SGs or whatever in the inputs. But if you look at the POC for the first 15 minutes, you can just manually draw it. It's like the stupidest alpha. So I posted the stats on it. And I think it's like, you know, it was like a year's worth of back test. It was like 100 or some 200 sample size, something obnoxious. You know, and it's got like a 42 or 43% win rate, which it's on a 2-to-1 R. I told you exactly what the stop needs to be, exactly where the take profit is. And it's, you know, it's got like, I don't know, 12% equity or 9% equity somewhere in that on any given day, sell side or buy side. So I posted that literally that day. It went up, hit the 15-minute POC and then crashed, you know, 300 points. But it hit the 2 R. It happened three times this week. And then actually the second day, I was like, you know what? We have a setup that's coming that's a follow-up to this, which is when you gap through an opening range. That was a trend day. So when you gap through a trend day, there's another stat that basically says to a high probability when you gap through that trend day, you're going to either go 75 points in the direction of the gap through the trend, which was a downwards gap, or close the day in the direction of the gap. And it literally resolved that stat in, you know, minutes. Of the open, and you know, I mean, you so basically like sell the open kind of thing.
Was that the 18th?
That was your big day, Baba.
Yeah, Thursday.
Yeah, I think that was your big day.
Gap through ODR was Wednesday.
No, that was the day before. That was Wednesday. Wednesday was it?
Which
Thursday?
I mean, that status is absolutely obnoxious. It's 78%. It's a small sample size. It's only happened 18 times in the last year. But it's 78% of the time we trade 75 points in the direction of the gap. So I'm not going to, you know, build the trade however you want, you know, wherever you enter, whatever. You know, I was mentioning that it's like a cool stat arb of like, not stat arb in the sense of like a HFT company who's like trading 1,000 different, you know, instruments against each other. A stat arb in the sense of like, you can use that stat and arb that information against your normal setup. So if there's a 78% chance that we trade 75 points below the open, you know, do something in your system to get short and arb that 78% into an existing trade, whether you do it with size, whether you do it with, you know, how much conviction you get, or if you're, you know, averaging in or whatever you're doing, arb the stat. But anyways, that also hit too. So there was like two stats based on like, essentially for me, what is like one of my trend day indicators, this 15 minute opening range being directional, short of the 30 second opening range, and previous 15 minute opening ranges, which is also like a big thing, right? When you start taking out old trend days up, new trend days down tend to follow after that. So there was just a lot of cool stuff around that 15 minute opening range. And again, like come back to Twitter and just drop some stats, and it just, hopefully it helps some people, honestly. Hopefully some people, you know, did something with it, or at least like it inspires somebody, because that's where almost like 95% of the work that I've done in trading was either inspired by, or, you know, rooted in something that I've learned from someone else, or inspired by someone else, or a collaboration with somebody else. So, you know, again, hopefully one, our conversation on Friday helped some folks be mentally prepared to either not lose money, like we said last week, either not lose money or make money, right? I was really pushing on the capitalization side of the thing, but
I was being the pansy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, keep people safe, but there's also, you know, push, make that money. There's week makers this week multiple times.
I don't remember if it was Wednesday or if it was Thursday, but I heard your voice in my head saying, wait, there's still going to be opportunities. Wait, there's still going to be opportunities. Because, like, I don't trade the first 15 minutes anymore. That's like a new thing for me.
Patience.
So sitting and watching that initial sell-off, and that was hard to sit through and wait for another opportunity. But man, I hit some freaking bangers just by sitting on my hands for longer than usual.
So yes, Kyle did that. And I actually messaged you about that, if I remember correctly.
I think you did, yeah.
Because you put your little notes on the chart.
Yep.
You know, and you put the little thing like, oh, pissed off, wish I could trade here, or something like that. Or I don't remember what it was. I'm really pissed off, but whatever you
said.
It was
annoying, I think it said, or something. Yeah,
I acknowledged the fact that you would like to be able to have traded a certain setup, but you were sticking to the play or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then that patient trade showed up, which ended up, you know, plenty of meat on the bone.
Oh, yeah.
Before it gets too far out of my mind, you mentioned this just then, Flair, talking about stats. I think there's probably like, I know this is a little deviation from our plan, and it's going to be a short one. I think there's like a spectrum of how people feel when someone says something about stats work.
Oh, okay,
so I'm just perceiving this from conversations I've had with people and what I see on Twitter, which I try not to. I've also not done a lot on Twitter. I think all it is Bandit Traders podcast stuff, or like me shouting out someone that I've saw something that they did that was cool.
Twitter's gotten kind of.
Yeah. It used to be cool. It used to be fun, man. Like, there was, I don't know. It's
a lot of hate on there now.
Yeah, it's maybe we'll bring it back to life. Maybe we'll do that. But yeah. But anyways, there's a spectrum of, so there's on the one hand, it's like, you need a stat for everything. Every time you pull the trigger, you better have a stat. It's tied to a setup and it's filtered and da 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 da. And like, so this is very rigid approach.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think there's this far to the other side that's like, you know, the market is alive and, you know, like stats don't mean anything because what's happened in the past doesn't matter to the future and all of that. And so the implication of like that having a statistical analysis of a certain day or setup or whatever is just a waste of time. You know, backtesting is a waste of time. All of that is just, it's, you're trying to eliminate the fear that you have, and you're using that as like your binky, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Every time I've ever felt fear of, or like the desire to not go backtest an idea, it's usually because I'm scared that there's no efficacy there and I'm about to go figure that out.
Well, so this brings me to my point. We should do an episode together where we talk about the, and we have a little bit in the past, but I wonder if it's not seasonally appropriate and contextually appropriate for kind of the last couple weeks, and especially this week, to just talk about kind of the playground between, because I think both extremes are kind of off.
Mm-hmm.
The playground in the middle that probably, like, to some extent was where we all find ourselves. So I know for me, like, you've heard me say, Kyle, how many times that you know, statistically, we should see a rotation to at least this point of the prior range. Right. And then if we extend past that point,
you know that there's less drop off as far as in expectancy. The stats, yeah.
Exactly. So it's not so. So how you and you mentioned Fleury's stats arb. And I think I personally, like we've talked a lot about that kind of thing. But I think that may be what would be helpful for people is for us to do a round table, or maybe we have, you know, another person, not just us two, but someone else in, and let's just talk about the application right. of
where's the trade
stats. How do you take that and okay. go, well, you know, and just get, you know, because I would love that if there was someone out there who was like, stats are stupid, the market's always new and fresh, I'd love for maybe us to give them something else to think about, move a little more this way. And then for the rigid person who's like, if I don't have, you know, like move them towards the, like, you know, how they do whatever. So ProShot just said the market's always new and fresh. It's funny because it's humans' repetitive behavior that involve themselves in said market. So.
Well, I wonder if Chris Dover wouldn't be a good get for that. Maybe I'll reach out to him and see. I know he's real big on backtesting. Like, he's the one who.
Yeah, he has to think the way that we think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if he disagrees, then like then we're gonna have to kick him off the island.
I think we'll be good.
You must agree. I mean, it'd be interesting to talk to somebody who doesn't, you know, whatever doesn't.
Well, I think so too.
I know that way because
I dude, said that
at
as
the end of the day, shame like, the non-believer. Honestly, yeah. Like, you know, stats, no stats, doesn't matter. Like, it's been a big reinforcer for my confidence to execute yes. in my observations, in my, you know, order flow trading and whatever you want to call it. And, you know, again, that's why I call it stats arb. Because you're using historical data to influence your discretional decision making in the moment, and it's a powerful tool. I mean, it's like playing poker with you know, understanding the ranges and knowing mm-hmm. that you have an edge against your opponents. The board's still going to run out some, you know, wonky ass way, and you're going to lose to your aces are going to get cracked by queen 10 offsuit sometimes, right? And that's just it. But like, you're going to go into the hand with a little bit more equity than potentially going in completely blind or with a worse hand or something like that. So
yeah, imagine how much better you feel when you go into a pot and you know you got 10-1 odds in the pot, and you know it's 4-1 you're going to hit your straight draw. And you know that that's going to give you the nut hand.
Yeah.
Like, that feels pretty good knowing the stats.
But to Baba's point, like, where's the trade? What do you do with it, right? Like, the gap through trade. I didn't tell anybody what to do with it. God bless if anybody, you know, figured out a way to take the information and turn it into a profit. I have my style, which, you know, it's like, there's probably a bajillion ways you could have used that stat to arb a profit for the day. But, you know, like, let's give some raw examples. You know, I think I'm comfortable, you know, with a few of them, giving some examples of like a way that you could do what you're already doing, but use historical data to inform the decision.
Yeah.
But even stats, like, so we're talking about stats on the raw equity or of, you know, a specific setup or something like that. There's also just like your personal stats too, right? Like, how do you trade inside of like your equity curve? How do you trade inside of the fact that you're a 48% win rate trader in a 2-1 roughly R system? Like, what do you do with that information? I think there's value in that. I think, let alone do people not know or backtest, you know, and some people don't even have setups, right? Like, they're just trading a basket of like what ifs, and that's fine. There's a group of people who can be very successful doing that. And it's just, you know, it's not most, or it's not how I've found success. But, you know, if you do that, you can at least look at the stats of like, when I entered the market on any day, given day, my average risk to reward is this, or whatever, you know, Sierra calls a profit factor. It doesn't matter whatever you're doing. My average loss is this. My average win is this. I take this many trades. You know, what can we do with that information, and how can you arb that into where are you at in your equity curve? What are some of the things, like trading the equity curve is like a whole other great like stats conversation, which kind of ties into like, what do you do when you're trading a close your eyes and follow the system, you know, like trading session times, right? Like, you know, even like, dude, like I could give you a bot that trades this 15-minute opening range. We could write a bot that does that in literally 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. And you could be auto trading the 15-minute opening range in NQ that has a 42% win rate over the year. And in theory, if the last 365 days our representation of the next 365 days, if you do nothing except return your computer on and say yes, auto trade, you should make roughly $25,000 to $30,000. Now, do you have the ability to actually do that on a one lot and watch it go through its peak drawdown of, you know, whatever?
It's a lot harder when you haven't done the stat work yourself.
Yeah, and it's also like, here's the thing is, again, worked with a lot of people on like automation. I've worked on automation myself in, you know, whatever this new journey is for me. It's hard to also trade an automated trading system. The same way you have emotions on a trend day, right, is the same way that you have emotions in an automated trading system where I'm in an $8,000 drawdown in a system that's supposed to only make $20,000 this year on a one lot. Mm-hmm. Like, what do I do? So there's managing your equity curve and there's all kinds of cool stuff. But we've totally deviated from talking about trend days.
Bob, I'm sorry. That's my fault. It is. And, you know, we will pick this conversation up in the future. I just think I wanted to acknowledge that. I just wanted to say, I think that's a conversation worth having because I think we have people that are built a wall and throwing rocks at each other. And there's a great place to be in the middle.
Yes. Yeah.
Stats.
Yeah.
Where's the trade, man? And that influenced a lot of a lot of decisions I made this week were because of the idea of stats arb.
Mm-hmm.
Even some that I don't have a perfect number for. Which I was talking to the professor about this week. Like, I don't actually know the percentage on some things, but I've seen it so many times that I know it's likely.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyways.
Well, one of the things that kind of came up in the initial conversation was impulsiveness. Like, when we're talking about why people would be trying to continually try to catch the knife, mm-hmm. it's that impulsive behavior. And this kind of ties in with the next topic that I had planned here was kind of like quieting that noise in your head. One of the things that I tried out this week, starting on Thursday, was just listening to some music while we're on stream together, just in the background, just down low, just to have something going on in the background. Because one of the things I was noticing is when it's quiet and I'm sitting there with just my thoughts in my head, like they get very loud and they get very hard to ignore when there's nothing to take you out of that. Just having a little bit of music in the background really seemed like it kind of quieted a lot of that need to be impulsive. I'm curious if you guys have had experience, do you guys listen to music too, or like, what do you guys do to like quiet the impulsive urges?
I mean, I've tried, gone through bouts of like brain music, you know, whatever, if you just YouTube brain music, I think.
Is that what that techno remix stuff was you're always listening to on streams? Yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, I don't know if it's like some, you know, key or octave or whatever, if it's just like some catchphrase for fucking chill trans techno or something, I don't know. But, but you know, whatever. It's basically just like calming electric mm-hmm. music, you know, so I've done some of that and, you know, I don't know. I think it definitely... It helps like readiness or whatever, but the biggest thing I think short of like listening to music, the biggest thing that I've done is just like do affirmations before the market opens and
mm-hmm.
also just like really focus on not like just releasing the ego of it, like being happy because I trade with other people. I know you guys do too. Like being happy when other people's ideas worked out. Whether it caused mine to be wrong or not caused, but like if a cause and effect right. of them being right was me being wrong. And also just like trying not to get too married to the excitement of my trade. And like, it's so funny because the more you work on that, the more you hear it in other people. And it's like,
it's funny when you catch yourself doing it too.
You catch yourself.
Man, I'm getting a little too excited.
You catch
here.
Yourself doing it, and you hear other people doing it, and it's kind of interesting. Like, man, it can be a really good like counter trend thing. And you know, again, did my you know Captain Save-A-Ho rounds this week with trend stuff. I posted those pictures to you guys, but like you hear people like cheering for 12-point long pops on a 200-point down day, and you're like, oh,
yeah.
Dude, this is like we're going lower. But like that excitement is something that I also try to keep myself from, which was the point yeah. of the example, not to say, you know, whatever. But like I find myself doing that as well, and you can hear it in other people doing it. And it's like, wow, like that whether it's like intentional, if it's like in the back of your mind, however the brain is processing that, when you're getting that excited about a trade that you in theory should have already known the thesis. Like when I sold 950, was it 950? 950 was the ODZ POC retest, the 50-minute POC retest. I sold 950, it traded like 955, and I know that the target was 75 points. And you just like, I know where my stop is, I know where my take profit is, and like you just have to sit calm. And when it just shoots straight down, and I mean, I think it was, you know, it's a 70 or 80 point trade, 90 point trade, something like that, like to the target. When it shoots down 40 points like it did, like right away, it's really easy to be like, yes, like, let's go.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Go, bitch, go. Like, you know, I mean, like, dude, I don't know if you guys
burn it to the ground.
If you trade on voice with folks or just like if you record yourself, like you catch yourself doing these things. And so for me, it's to circle back to answer your question. It's yeah, I've tried the music, but for me, it's more about affirmations of like you've done your work. You know what the expectancy is. Just enjoy buying the ticket and taking the ride and celebrate after. Not during. Mm-hmm. Celebrate after, not okay. During. Remorse after, not during. Right? Because it's okay to be like, that sucks. Like nobody likes to lose, but like it. Hey, okay, we lost. On to the next one. I know I have edge. Right? Mm-hmm. But during the trade, like pitying the fact that you're about to take a stop out, things like that, they lead to a place for the next opportunity that's not good, and they lead to decision making opportunities to be. Doing wildly gross grossly wild mistakes in the trade, right? Like maybe you're so excited about the 40 point drop that you miss an A plus ad in the trade. Maybe you're so anxious about the stop out coming that you're not reading an opportunity to maybe move your stop loss to a safer spot or to add, you know, correctly or incorrectly and you know, whatever, work the trade. It's really hard to do that when you're emotional in the trade. So for me, it's about affirmations and it's about trying to remain calm during the trade. And especially when you train in groups, not letting other people's success and or failures reflect in any way on my decision-making process.
That's a great point. One of the things that I've been doing, I think that's been kind of helping with some of that because the accepting the loss has been something that I think that I've struggled with for quite some time. And Joel actually pointed out to me in, I think it was the strategy development call, or it might've been another time we were chatting, but that was one of the things I chose to focus on this week was take a loss or take a stop, like take a moment, make sure we actually fully accept the results of that trade. If we hit max draw on the account, not max, but like personal daily loss limit, if we hit that $200 drawdown, then that account's done. Like, let's take a moment. Let's make sure we accept that that happened before we go in and start trading something else. And that's been huge for me. I think there's a moment we'll probably talk about in the good, bad, and ugly. So maybe I won't spoil it. But yeah, Thursday, I basically executed that flawlessly. And that, I don't know. I'm curious how the affirmation part works then. So like, can you walk me through what that looks like?
I mean, I more just take a moment to respect the amount of work and time that I've put in on the screens, the planning that I put in pre-market.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, be honest with myself about whether or not I'm coming to the desk fully prepared today. Am I at my best? And I take a moment to do that. I usually try to be ready at least like 20 minutes before the market opens. There's some good trades that I eye up like right around the 7:30 time. Bobby, you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, I try to basically just take, I'll mute my mic or like go on a walk or go out to the porch and just take a moment to just like calm myself, be like, listen, you know, it's like the guys before the game and the, you know, when they go out on the court and they're, you know, kind of like getting psyched up and, you know, they're feeling the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I take a time to do that. And it's something that I haven't always done is to just like reflect on the amount of effort and work that I've put into this and be prepared to honor that work when the market opens and also be prepared to accept the reality of whatever happens. And when I take a moment to do that, the losses are easier to take. The wins are easier to sit in and see to expectancy. And everything that happens in between is basically my time where I get to enjoy this.
I love that.
So Red, Shout out to him because he's out playing the MSBT right now. Hopefully he wins another one. he talked about this when he was helping me with some of the poker stuff. I used to get really nervous. It's so funny because even when I would have the best hand, I would go all in and my opponent's sitting there thinking about it, right? So we call it putting them in the tank.
Yeah.
My opponent's sitting there thinking about it. And even when I have the best hand, I'm physically nervous. I'm like almost sick to my stomach. Will they call? Are they going to fold? I want these chips, blah, blah, blah. And when I'm bluffing, I'm just like, oh my God, please fold, please fold, please fold, please fold.
Yeah.
And we talked about this and he goes, man, you're missing your moment. And I was like, well, what are you talking about? He goes, dude, you're sitting there worrying. Think about what he's thinking about.
Like, right. Yes.
Like you're putting him in the grinder. You take this moment to sit there and go, enjoy that shit, you motherfucker.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Like, because I came to the game ready. Right. And this is my moment. You sit there and fucking worry about it. And I get to sit there and enjoy watching you have to try to figure out the position that I put you in. And when he said that and I started trying to implement that, I was like, man, it's like just like that in trading where like you do all this work, right? And then you go and you implement your work and you fucking worry about it the second you click the button. You're like all of your work said, I want to buy this level. You buy that level and you're instantly panicked about whether or not you're going to take your stop out. Sit and enjoy it, right? Yeah, enjoy it.
Like prematurely trying to fold while the guy's sitting there contemplating whether or not to call your raise.
Yeah. And so, I mean, again, for me, like that, the affirmation is about taking a moment to one, calm myself and know that I've come prepared or like be honest with myself that like, hey, you know, I may be B game today. I should size down or like, I'm just going to be cautious. Like at least be aware that I'm not maybe on my best. And two, most importantly, it's just like, reminding myself that like I deserve to be able to come in and deploy what I've come up with, right? Like I'm confident in what I've done and I'm ready to accept the results of whatever happens. And man, the closed loop of that when you come to the market, you say that affirmation, you believe in yourself, you do what you said you were going to do and you do win or you do accept the losses, even when you accept the losses. It's really a great, you know, sort of like end to the day kind of thing. And it gives you the power to come back and do it the next day, whether you want to call it confidence building or just like affirmation of like what you've done. Right. Dude, like, so
accepting the results of the day is like one of the most freeing things I think I've done rather than sitting stewing on it. Like try to get the journal done immediately, even if it was a bad day as far as results go. But when I can go back and look and see that I still executed my process the way I was supposed to. I'll accept that. Okay. Let's do it again tomorrow. Because if I keep doing this, it's going to be better. What about you, Baba, man? What, you kind of were nodding your head at the affirmations there. It sounds like you do something similar.
I have shared them with the room from time to time, maybe two or three times. We've talked through some of the affirmations. I've typed them out, posted them in there. I have like a little routine in the mornings. This is going to sound weird. I like to... I'll come to the desk, look at things earlier, have coffee, take the dogs outside, go for either take them for a short walk or go sit on the porch, let them run around, that kind of thing. And then I really like to take a shower fairly shortly before I come sit down and fire up everything, like to go live and be with you guys. And then a lot of times in the shower, that'll be my like – I've already looked at the market – before I've kind of like surveyed the scene, you know, sometimes I'll have a trade on, sometimes I won't, you know, but there's oftentimes there's, you know, early morning trade I'll be in maybe depending on if there's 8:30 news and we, you know, get a great setup.
Right.
But then, I like to take a shower and it's kind of like, I don't know, like it's like a process, you know, and like, I like to go get the shower, get ready, come to the desk, and then it's like right in. A lot of times when I'm in the shower, I'll listen to a recording actually of from Pirate Traders, which I've mentioned him, the Brigade. I think you may have even emailed him about doing an episode. He does a lot of – he trades completely differently than I do. Like, but I like what he does, and he's a great TPO trader. But I will listen to he has like a guided hypnosis thing. I kind of skip the hypnosis part in the mornings. Sometimes I'll
fall. Hypnosis or like a visualization?
It's like a guided hypnosis thing. It's more just like some breathing exercises and then listening to a series of phrases. So it's not, I mean, it's not like hypnosis, but sometimes I'll go to sleep listening to that. Or most of the time in the morning in the shower, I'll have that, I'll skip ahead to the trading mantras and just listen to it, because it's just a lot of great reminders. Like one of them is like, I have fun trading. Trading is fun. Now, I don't get very giddy and excited about a good trade. And I usually don't get super like down and whatever if I, you know, if I take a stop loss or if I hit TP. I'm not like a champion of either. Like I try to stay pretty even keel. But the trading is fun thing is something I try to remember, because it's not so much fun that I'm thinking, but like it really can and is oftentimes easy. Or the market can be more advantageous to my style. On Thursday, for instance, like that was an easy day. It was a little bit at first, like, are they going to make this annoying? And then it was super easy after that.
Yeah.
When I start to feel like, oh, this is annoying, I know that that's a cue for me that like I'm trying to impose something, or I'm out of step, or I've maybe overlooked something. So another one is like, I'm not trying to take anything from the market. Like I'm not trying to abuse the market or do something negative or like in one way, like
inflict your will.
Yeah. I'm trying to be available. That's another one of the mantras. I'm trying to be available to whatever the opportunity of the moment is.
Yep.
And I think that stands in like stark contrast to like, I'm going to, you know, go win or kill it or whatever. So that's one thing. And then that's like a pre-trading thing. Throughout the trading day, I mean, oftentimes either on the chart that you guys can see or on another monitor, I'm definitely like marking stuff off, right? Like writing little arrows, drawing boxes, just to keep up with things that I've noticed unfold, or things that I maybe I perceived something and I want to make a note of it for, you know, we trade back in that area or whatever.
That's what I borrowed from you. I love doing that. Yeah. Man.
And that's a good one to keep me kind of settled. I think
it keeps you engaged too. And it gives you something when you feel those impulsive urges, you can go back and look and be like, does that make sense?
I tried listening to music. I get kind of like distracted by music.
Yeah.
Some of my worst trading has been, I think it goes back to like, when I've traded poorly, sometimes I've played music to motivate myself to like be more aggressive or something like that. And that has typically led to bad outcomes, you know?
Yeah.
So I steer clear of it. The only thing I'll listen to is no words music, like lo-fi. So if anybody has ever looked at Lo-Fi Girl, she has no words beats in the background. I'll listen to that from time to time. But I try to remember mostly throughout a day, I'm trying to remember that there's probably still a great opportunity. Like I was not super active this week. I don't feel, especially early on in the week, I don't feel like I was super active. And then I kind of, you know, I kind of got active in the right, you know, a couple of good places this week that really made the week a good week. But
I'll say,
I just think whatever it is for you, whether it's listening to music, whether it's trying to be a little more chill, whether it's trying to be more patient, whatever you can use to help facilitate that for you, I think is key. So like
try some different things.
Yeah. If you're out there listening and wondering, you can just explore that a little bit, because I love the point you made, Flary, about like honoring the work. That's something that it's funny. We end up in similar places oftentimes. I have said that like 1,000 times. In our in our group of guys, and when we've been trading, we do all this work. We spend all these hours back testing to watch something go right by us at times, you know?
Right.
Or we deviate from what we know, like what we know looks good, what we know, what we have precedent for to put risk on. We deviate from that out of impatience or trying to force our will. And then when something great comes along, from a capital standpoint, you're expired, or mentally, you're expired.
Or even worse, what usually happened to me, or what used to happen to me, is I'd be stuck in a shitty long fade when the A-plus short opportunity sets up, and I can't bring myself to close that trade to take the right one.
I think, I'll just speak for me, and I've talked to both of y'all about this off mic, the hurry, or like the hurry up and make a bunch, or hurry up and make Q1 from 2024 be a thing of the past, where I don't think about it anymore because I'm so far past that. The pace of like trying to accomplish or conquer or achieve, like all of that speed is oftentimes what is at the root of like a bad decision making, or even just poor trade management. Like, you know, Flurry, it drops 40 points. You freaking jump up and celebrate, you know, cover half when that's not where you cover half. You know, those kind of things. But the satisfaction that you get in the immediate, allowing that to supersede this longer term result that only would come from seeing this process through to, or this trade through to its expectation. I just think there's something in all of that that's really key to like being able to, you know, perform well and not be caught up in every wiggle of the market, you know?
I love that, dude. We ready to just do some good, bad, and ugly? I actually have a new song for us.
Oh, sure.
Yes, let's go.
Cleo's been playing around with the AI song creators.
We got another one.
The good, the bad, the ugly of trading. We've learned the lessons of trend day fading. The days that hurt, the days that we need, as long as we don't blow out from greed. What's bad for you could be my good, cause I finally stopped buying like I knew I should. Big old wins, but then almost breaking. The good, the bad, the ugly of trading.
We need to get a better outro.
Yo, that's amazing.
Bro, fucking nuts, dude. God. Make your money while you can, cause this fucking shit is over, dude. We're all done. We're all done.
Wow, man, that
is fucking impressive.
Can she get us a? Can she make us an intro song for the pod for the Brown Traders Roundtable?
And I want an avocado themed song.
Yeah, come on.
I mean, what else can we? I want a Flurry song. Fuck,
I want a John Wick song.
Unbelievable.
Flurry, we made you a song Back to the Future days.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Was that AI generated, though?
No, that was Dan generated.
Yeah, that's not the fucking same. God bless Dan, but AI's got him fucking looking for work.
Oh, God.
That is amazing.
Who wants to lead us off here?
I feel like Baba's got some good
Baba's got some great goods that he's going to get off.
Just fire it. It's going to take a while anyway, so just let it
No, be it's not. It's... okay, so there wasn't, I mean, I don't know, the bad, I feel like if there was any bad, I don't know, I mean, I think it was good to be patient early week. I have said this over and over again, not always perfectly executed, I'll be a day late to the short. I have just kind of, that has kind of been my mantra for this whole drag up, because I've wanted to sell, and we've talked about this thing will go further than anyone thinks is reasonable, and blah, 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 buy the dip, blah, 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 and all that. So Flurry rocked out, I guess, the 18th, or was it the 17th?
You were talking about the day before. I think that was that Wednesday.
But I was like, yeah, I see that. I saw that. And like, I took a couple backside scalps and maybe ass short somewhere in there. Nothing great. Maybe it was a time I could have been a little more aggressive. So the bad was that probably when I could have been a little more aggressive earlier in the week, I wasn't. Out of defense, you know, and I don't know, there's like a little bit of good in that.
Well, you said you were going to be patient, and that's what you did.
I did, and if you ask banks, like my typical MO is to be a little too aggressive either way, you know.
Right.
Throw a buy out there when no one else is, and throw a sell out there when no one else is. And that's like historically been what is awesome and makes you look great, and then also you pay the price for it. So
finders fee.
I've been especially slow to short. So they've let me down so many times. The ugly, I mean, it's not really any ugly. Today was not the tidiest of trading, but I honestly was still riding, you know, fine from yesterday.
Did you say you're good yet?
No, I was leaving it till the end.
Okay.
Good. The good of the thing is that I got to third base in trading. In trading.
He hit a triple.
I hit a triple. I had a 300-point runner this week. I know people. I didn't victory lap it. I almost victory lapped it on Twitter, and I was like, "That's distasteful." The last time when we did a 200-point runner a couple weeks ago, I tagged Flaherty on Twitter and said I need a GIF for 200 or something. So, but I don't know. It's
kind of over the feeling.
Don't get too high. Don't get too high. Don't get too low. Right. So for the last, for like the since last like March or so, I've wanted to get a 300-point runner because I'd never really thought of that. And someone that we traded with got a 300-point runner, and it really got to me that someone got that, and I hadn't achieved that yet. And so I tried to do that a bunch that year and kept letting 150-point and 170-point trades come all the way back. And then I almost quit holding runners for a little while because, you know, eggs in the basket, don't count them in the bush or whatever the saying is, you know, like I needed eggs in the basket. And so, you know, we talk about how it's easier to capture 40 points of a rotation than it is to capture three full average rotations kind of thing. So,
right.
But I told you to be patient that I would be back with you trying to catch runners again one of these days. And the last few weeks, you've probably noticed we've been...
I've noticed you've had more than just the 300-point runner. Yeah. I think you had a couple 100-pointers in there too.
Yeah, there's been a couple of those. But that specifically that day, I had a 100-point runner, 200-point runner, and a 300-point runner. And then some other sprinkled trades in between or exits. But they were all from one batch of entries. So it was 20,062 and covered the last one in the last hour of the day at 762, which was like 4 points off the low of the day to cover for 300 points.
I remember I was hoping they were going to hit that for you. I think I was sweating an ESH at the same time.
They came within 10 points of it.
I know.
At like 11:45, and that comes into a reversal window for us, you know. And so I was like, oh man, if they run it all the way back. And then I thought, you know what, like we're done here. Stops to break even, and we have all the trend day vibes. Let's try to get it. And he did say hold it. He did say hold it. Messaged him. Yeah, I actually texted him and was like, dude, should I just close this out?
Banks told you to hold it when he closed his 200 and 250 points earlier.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, he made a bad decision. So I got that. That's like a little feather in the hat. We had a little – I mean, it wasn't really much of a celebration. Like, we just talked about it for a second in chat, but
– I gave you a fist bump at home for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was cool, man. Like, that's a cool accomplishment.
I made you a GIF.
Yeah. You made three of them, actually. Actually, message when we were trading back up at like 19.940, 19.950, I messaged Flaherty and I was like, hey, if this thing rolls over into the close like I'm hoping it does, and I get this 300-point runner, I need you to – you're going to have to build me a GIF or something, you know?
Next one he's making for us is going to be the cycle. I want the Grand Slam.
Yeah, I don't know. 400 points will have to be on something epic, but we'll see if we can't one day do that as well.
It's like FOMC bullshit.
Yeah, but the other funny thing about this was that I was holding that short runner, and Flaherty took a really good long trade around that 11:45-ish window, mm-hmm. and I was like, I just want to go on record and say I'm ignoring every piece of work that I have other than the fact that I want 300 points because it bounced over 100 points off of that.
Yeah, it was a good trade.
That was a really good trade that he was in. So back to the whole other conversation we had earlier of like, you stick to what you're doing, stay in your lane, even if someone else is doing something different. There's enough movement for everybody to do well, even if you're on different sides. You don't need to try to trade the trades someone else trades or follow every time someone else clicks. I mean, we talk about that in the room all the time. Like, I'm doing what I'm doing to model what I think is good and responsible, but it's more about the actions around the idea than exactly the trade that I'm taking. And so I'm also really proud of not wimping out of that when, you know, somebody that I have high regard for was trading the other way. So
mm-hmm.
That was my good for the week. It was pretty cool. It's kind of like never done that before.
That had been pretty hard to not close that out when you hear Flaherty telling you he's long.
I mean, he sent me the dang screenshots, dude. He sent me his fills. I'm like, bro, come on. Kill him.
I was cursing your 300-point runner because it was holding the ES up. I thought for sure, would have hit my target if you wouldn't have been shooting for that.
Yeah, but you also snagged an awesome late short that day, didn't you?
Was it that day?
Was it that day or the next day, yesterday?
I think it was. That's when I realized I still had a reset from Top Step that I'd forgotten about. Yeah. I was like, we'll just king short the shit out of this thing right here.
Promo code.
So that's all. That's all I have to say.
Man, fucking good week, dude.
Thank you.
I love hearing that. Yeah. Larry, man, what about you, man? Can you top 300 points?
No. But I also didn't go. I didn't go for that.
Fair enough.
I was in 200 points of that move. Yep. Two separate times. But, God bless it, dude. I mean, that's a hell of a trade. And a conviction trade. But it comes back to, I mean, like, I know this is my good, bad, and ugly. But, you know, fuck it. I'm going to talk about Bob's. Like, it comes back to... it comes back to the talk about like this arbing stats.
Yeah.
Like you've done the work and you know that there's a pretty good probability that we make this low in the last hour and you're willing to sacrifice, you know, what is, you know, I think, what did I get? I think I got 120, 130 points out of that long and I didn't even buy the bottom. Mm-hmm. So you took some heat, right? And it rotated back down and it took out the low, you know, not by much, but by enough for you to hit your landmark. Was it a good trade? Probably not in the sense of like whatever, but like, was it right? And did you have some logic to back it up that we should have taken a push lower? Yes. And I think that's what's cool about like sort of this, like, you know, you did the work, you know, what is the expectation? You know, I would say, I think you should have added obnoxiously at VWAP, but if you're going to hold for 100 point pullback in your face, you probably should have added at VWAP. That should have been your bad that you didn't.
There you go.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't add a VWAP, but I was okay with giving it all the way back to there because I took that trade with a few contracts to start with. So like my day was more than done. And it was like, I'm done. Dude, the only reason I'm in this.
My long sacrifice was what gave you your 300 point runner.
It was only for the memes, dude.
I didn't set it to break even, but I think I gave back like 70 points or something like that on the runner. I put it below that next, like there was like they pushed up and then they pulled back and gave like a nice swing low. And then they pushed up to VWAP and it was like 75 or 80 points from where the top was. I sacrificed for you that part.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Real quick, just to Bob's credit too, the start of the day, he said that this is the type of day where this is possible. I think he knew it was going to be on deck.
I'll say that the possible was the 150, you know, into 200, like that range. That's where we had. I think the trade thesis was the peak above balance. Either from the weekly and the daily, they were lining up. There was an overlapping value area high and some other stuff from a composite of overlapping value days and the weekly balance area that we pulled back into. There was stuff that made me think it was squishy to the down. There was room to go. Now, I didn't know we were going to go down 300 points. That's why it was one contract with my eyes closed, squinting, you know, just waiting to see for the simple meme of it. But yeah, I mean, that day had a lot of opportunity from multiple modes of work, mm-hmm. not just the 32nd. I think it was a no tick 32nd OR almost. If it wasn't all the way, the VWAP stuff, everything we talked about last Friday.
I think I was asking you a Flaherty's checklist. Is there a double distribution? Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we hit it all. Like, we hit it all. And so that was like as the auction developed, but then also where we were structurally that day from like if you do TPO overlapping value, da 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 da, there was all kinds of other stuff that was setting that day up like to be one that we had the chance. So.
Like we talked about targeting swing lows, not support.
Yep.
All right, that's enough fucking talking about Bob.
Okay, awesome.
I'm just kidding, brother.
Thank you, everybody.
Brother. I love you, and I'm glad you had a great week.
Yeah, man. Congratulations.
Okay, my good is, you know, we just I was ready for this week. You know, again, one part luck, one part preparation, and whatever the saying is where that shit meets and you know, the market agrees. I was ready for this week. I never overstayed my welcome. I took most of the trades that I saw to expectancy. It was a good week. So yeah, I just from that, like, I did the work. I'm here. I'm ready. I'm present. Like, it was just a good week. So that's my good. You know, not that it was short. I love shorting. I love shorting. Not that it was shorts, but I was longing all previously. So, like, to be able to go with the flow and you know, again, respect the time frame that I trade on, which is relatively like a day, and the good, like a good meat of the ATR of the day. I did my job as I define it this week relatively well, or about as well as I think I can do. So that would be my good. I would say the bad, man, it's just, you just, these days are tough when you trade with people. They saw a lot of
people get hurt.
Yeah. You know, so again, for all the celebration, just, you know, that's why we have these conversations, because there's encouragement to be had that, like, dude, I've lost accounts on weeks like this. I've lost multiple accounts. I've lost, you know, a lot of money on weeks like this. I've made a lot of money on weeks like this. And the encouragement is that you learn from the mistakes, or just learn from the mistakes. And that's why we have conversations like this again. And hopefully that it either encourages somebody that there's light at the end of the I bought the dip all the way through a you know, 2% sell week or whatever tunnel. But there's also, you know, you know, like Baba's experience and things like that. Like, I've learned from this, and now I'm capitalizing on it. And really the culmination of this last 2 weeks of conversation. So the ugly would just be, like, you know, even though we're here spending some time on a Friday night talking about, you know, the pitfalls and the successes of weeks like this and last week, the reality is there's still a lot of people that are either, you know, blindly following people that have no fucking clue what's going on, or, you know, they're just being stubborn and ego trading and, you know, just doing the thing. And I saw, you know, a decent amount of it, whether it was on Twitter and the groups and stuff like that. And, you know, again, that's probably just the bad, is that it's humbling to know where you've come from. By the grace of God, there go I. You know, it's just like, I just know every time I see moves like that, man, like, there's a small part of me that goes, oh,
I messaged Baba. I finally had the realization of, when you see those random, like, 50 lot orders that fire off in the middle of nowhere, like, oh, that's somebody who's really just did something stupid.
Yeah, or, you know, just,
or that's the end.
Pay me here. Yeah. Or what? Yeah. Or CN. So yeah, I mean, again, like, it's a humble reminder that, you know, for every good week, there's an opportunity to have a bad week on stuff like this. Hopefully it's not the last trade I ever take when you know, these sort of day types or week types go bad. But, you know, it's a humble reminder that there's always someone on the other side of a 300-point runner.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I would say the ugly, yeah, there was a lot of opportunity this week potentially left on the table. Not necessarily like anything that I'm super upset about, but I've been a big advocate for just like taking my piece and letting it be. And it's funny because like I go through these phases of like when I really feel like I'm feeling the market and vibing with my work, I'll stay and I'll push. Mm-hmm. But I let, like, I'm trying to let it come to me a little bit more. And I've gotten in trouble being too aggressive too soon. Like Baba was saying, like, you know, I don't want to be that, you know, I'm not a day one shorter, but I'm potentially a day two or something like that. It's funny because, like, you know, you have these weeks where your work just works. That was this week for me. And although I had five green days, I'm going to call my ugly the fact that, like, man, when you go back and you look at it, you're like, holy shit.
This could have been a year maker.
Yeah, it really could have. So, you know, but again, I respected the fact that, like, I don't think I traded much past, except for coming back and taking the long on Thursday after it based. I don't think I traded much past 9:30, 10 o'clock central. Most of my targets were hit relatively quickly. I re-entered a few shorts and took, like, the second leg down and some things like that. But there was some opportunity to be in adding and, you know, like you said, making the month and things like that. And it's just funny because you go and you watch like all of your stats. Like I have maybe I have like five modes of work that tell me something on a relative basis of whether it's high time frame, daily, or whatever. None of it missed this week. My high time frame bullish shift hit and then broke down. My weekly setup that said sell basically the top and target, 400 points lower, hit by Tuesday. The opening range, or, you know, the opening drives on 15 minutes literally played like, I think, 4 out of 5 days this week. The 30-second opening range, like, you know, it's just like, it was one of those things where it's like, if you prepared for it, like, don't get me wrong, it was a great week, but like the ugly would probably be like, could I have shifted? Could I have been more aware of what we had going on, and captured a little bit more? Like, I'd like to think future me, this would have been like a week where I hang my hat on, and I'm more than content with the fact that current me just didn't blow an account.
Right.
You know, but again, I also am going to call it, like, I'm aware enough about like what this game is about that I'm going to call it ugly, because I do think that there's a version of me in this space that should have recognized that there was an insane amount of opportunity just continuing to be. Dude, PAX always says it best. Like, just be short below the opening range. Mm-hmm. Like just be like, if you would have just gotten short below the opening range early in the week and then just like carried these trades into multiple timeframes. I mean, I guarantee you there's a reason why he came on and did, what do they call it? A spaces. On Thursday, it's because we hit the M contract close, which was like 763, 747. And I guarantee you, and I apologize, Pax, if you ever hear this and I'm wrong, but I guarantee you it's because he closed a massive multi-day short, because he was short and adding below the opening range for multiple days. And then it hit on Thursday and he was like, yep, just closed, you know, X dollar, really exciting trade, and I'm going to hold the spaces. And, I see, like, honestly, that's what had that in the back of my head is like, man, I know he just had a great week, because whenever he does that, I feel like it's always like when we hit these big quarterly targets that he targets or whatever, contract roll targets. So, you know, it was a reminder of like someone who's really seasoned just made their potentially year or at least quarter this week, and I had a great week, but I did not make my quarter, so I'll call that the ugly.
All right, I think that's fair, man. I don't really have a whole lot to talk about. We kind of touched on my one, like the best thing that I wrote down, I think, on looking through my journals was as a specific moment on Thursday. And Baba, I know I sent you the screenshot of the moment on the chart that I wrote down. This is the first, I don't know, like 5 or 6 trades I took were not great. I ended up hitting real close to a personal daily loss limit on that first account. And I was having a real hard time accepting the fact that that had happened. Like, I was feeling that urge to come back and start clicking buttons again. And like, I wrote it on the chart, like right here, I'm having trouble accepting this. And that was the moment where I decided I was going to get up. I was going to go talk to my wife. I was going to go freshen up, get a drink, like do some things to kind of calm down, reset. And taking that time to accept that loss, I was able to come back and put it out of the mind and just capitalize on some beautiful opportunities later in the day. That's something that I feel like 2 months ago, probably would have led to a personal loss limit on 2 or 3 more accounts. But to be able to try and think of how to say this, like one of the things that I did this week was to specifically say, like, in the morning, I'm going to be a trader who accepts the outcomes of his trades. So it just felt really good to be able to look back at the end of this week and say, hey, I did that, man. I did all those things that I said I was going to do. I said I was going to be patient. I said I was going to be responsible. I said I was going to be balanced mentally. I said I was going to be accepting. And I checked those boxes every day this week. And results, great. That's awesome. I love the way that they came out this week. But being able to hit the process 100%, man, like that's where it's at. That's what's going to lead to long-term success. And I'm just fucking stoked about that.
Hell yeah, man. Congrats.
I don't think I really have anything bad to say either. The only thing I could really say was today I had a gold trade that I got a little scared out. I had reason for closing the trade, but then to close it and then watch it like go and hit your target like 20 minutes later, that's kind of annoying. But I mean, it was following the process. Like, you know, the chart said scratch this. I scratched it. And that's something I'm not usually good at doing, but I've scratched multiple trades this week. And I don't know, just picking up some momentum, and I just hope it continues going forward. And I got you guys to thank for all that. So really, like, really appreciate like the knowledge you guys share here, the encouragement that we get from you guys. Like, it's awesome.
Let's go.
All right. Let's get that bold pie diction. PieBot has predicted that TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor Company, is going to make history next week when it becomes the first semiconductor company to reach a $1 trillion market cap.
How much is that up?
It's right now at like $850 billion, I think. So it's not terribly far away, but
do they have earnings?
I don't think so. I asked him if he was sure he wanted to stick with that. He said, yeah, we'll roll with it.
Should I start taking these trades?
I'm starting to wonder a little bit too. I mean, he's not been completely right, but he's been pretty...
Can you tell me these things on Friday? So, well, do I really want to buy calls over the weekend and like give weekend theta? But I mean, I don't know. I do. Can you? You need to start running this shit while the market's open so that I can buy...
I'll give you the some bot.
Calls. Yeah. That's interesting. Oh.
Man, it had an 11% sell-off today, so I don't know how...
Oh! Well, I mean, are they taking some heat for crowdsource or whatever the fuck that was?
It must be. I don't know what they're getting beat up on.
Oh, all right. So long. What's the symbol for that again?
TSMC. Or TSM. Yeah.
TSM.
Yeah. I mean, all right, we'll see. I don't know about this one. I didn't believe that.
Right last week, honestly, like if NQ was down 5%, wasn't it?
That's probably pretty close to that, wasn't it?
Yeah. I just always assume the bot's talking about NQ. I don't really care about ES. Fuck ES.
All right, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. Ah. I got to say thank you, Flary, Baba Yaga, for joining in tonight. All you guys in the chat for sending in those messages and making us feel stupid. No, I'm just kidding. God damn it. Sorry, I'm still laughing.
We're going to replace this outro with AI outros here soon, guys. So just
can we do that? Is that?
Yeah.
I think we should.
All right, folks. That's going to do it for today's episode. I want to say thank you to Flary and Baba Yaga for joining us tonight, and everyone listening for sticking around until the end. Remember to show our panelists some love and click on those links in the show notes. Visit VantaTrading.com to join Baba Yaga every morning, and BandOfTradersPodcast.com, where you can browse our huge catalog by guest. And don't forget about AirsoftMasters.com. We'll be back soon with another exciting episode. Hopefully safer than sloped roof. But until then, be the listener that rates and reviews your favorite shows, and have a great week.
Damn, dude, we went with the sloped roof outro.
Do I need to use my backup?
Oh my God. Bro. You didn't fucking let me know. You're getting me into some political fucking crosshairs. No pun intended.
That's Secret Service, right?
There's Holy nothing to worry shit. About here, okay? I know okay. what things we need to worry about, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you there's a lot of them, but this isn't one of them, okay? He's a great guy, okay?
Did you see Shane Gillis do his impersonation of Trump on
Those are American tits. They're great tits. I felt those tits in the back.
They're very real.
They're very real. That's the Mexican problem with this administration. Yep. Mexican tits. Fentanyl tits.
One sucking your dad. Okay, I gotta hit the stop button before we. Do I need to do the other one? I can do the back.
No, I really don't care. So, okay. But they can fucking cancel me all they want. I really don't give a shit.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
produced by China Shop Productions.